Good morning. It's easy to be passionate. It's easy to work hard for an industry that you respect and admire. My folks and where I yield from in Decatur and Peoria, Illinois, have given me the training that is beyond words, and I am forever grateful. If you would call me on any given day and ask me what I'm doing today, I would say, I'm just sitting around changing the nation's fuel. And I usually get a nice laugh, and I said I might take a nap after lunch. You know, this might be just an easy thing to do. But what I need to remind our folks is changing the nation fuel is very complicated, but it is manageable. We can navigate this. But we have to remember from where we came from. On December 16th in 1978, 33 and a half some years ago, we finally saw, you know, the first gasohol waiver. And understand that that was not an approval. It got approved through operation of law because EPA failed to act. And now as we think 33 and a half years later that we want to move beyond E10, we look at the 211F waiver that was submitted. It was very complicated. EPA took, you know, way longer than what they were required to respond and react by law, more than 180 days. EPA received 70,000 comments. Lion's share of them were negative to deny the waiver. And then on October 13th in 2010, and then again on January 21st, EPA let out one of the most complicated and detailed new fuel waiver applications in its history. We got an approval to use E15 in model year 2001 newer vehicles. The first time we're actually bifurcating the car park. But those vehicles represent 65% of the vehicles on the road today, but more importantly, 82% of the vehicle miles traveled. And what that means is those are the vehicles that are filling up and refueling with fuel on a more frequent basis. It denied use for model year 2000 and older vehicles, and it exempted off-road, marine, motorcycle, RVs, etc. But then there was also these specific blending and marketing conditions that we got with this E15 waiver. So when you got through the 500-some pages of the waiver applications or the waiver decisions, and you look to see that we've got a 9-pound RVP summer max, you look that we've got this misfueling mitigation plan, we've got all these details, we've got the new label, we've got PTD, you know, documentation requirements, we've got fuel surveys. Well, how do you navigate that? I look at my retailers up here going, this is going to be a complicated rollout. Well, for the last 2.5 years, my primary focus has been to demystify and detangle those waiver conditions and those misfueling mitigations, and the RFA is on the job. We have put together a misfueling mitigation plan to detangle and decomplicate the waiver conditions. We have looked at federal fuel regulations. We've looked at detergent certification requirements. We've looked at EPA underground storage tank equipment and equivalency programs. And we have put together a plan for these retailers. We're going to, you know, we've submitted just last Friday, after 2.5 years of developing the toxicity assessment of gasoline, ethanol, evaporative, and exhaust emissions. It's music to my ears, by the way. It allows a registration of E15, so E15 can be a legal fuel. We contacted our companies. We are proud to say to date, we have 10 E15 registrations sitting on EPA's desk waiting for their processing. We've submitted the E15 misfueling mitigation plan after 6 months of work back and forth with EPA, ensuring them that we're going to teach retailers how to offer E15 and how that fuel can get into the right vehicles. We're supporting EPA and their biofuel compatibility requirements for underground storage tanks. We've developed the E15 education and outreach coalition to educate consumers and retailers alike on what are the benefits of E15, why do you want to offer it. But once we're done at the federal level, our work is only half done. We then go to move to the state fuel regulations, where in the RFA, we're already looking at fuel quantity and fuel quality requirements. We're looking at octane. We understand that motor fuel taxes are important to the consumers and to the state budgets and the financial pictures. We've already looked at those things. And what are we doing? We've already got a plan. We have enacted stakeholders. We have got folks in all Big 12 Midwestern states where ethanol consumption will be driven first. We're offering solutions for E15 impediments. We're funding the ASTM effort to develop the precision on octane measurement. We're developing E15 specific safety information. We've identified E15 retail targets, and we've got a consumer education program second to none. Our next effort over the next 2-3 years, while we're educating folks and teaching retailers how to handle safely, effectively, and for a profit, I guess is one of the most important things for my retailers, is how to offer E15 in a profitable manner. We're going to grow our state stakeholders. We're going to hold point of sale forums. We're going to take our E15 retailer handbook to the marketplace, where it's going to walk them step by step on how to meet those regulatory requirements, both on the federal and the state level, and so they can focus on consumer needs and growing this market in a safe and profitable manner.